All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 23, Job 23, for the message this morning. Job 23. All right, I want to read just a couple of verses here, just to kind of let you see what's going on here. We are in the At this point in the book of Job, we are reading where Job's three friends, quote unquote, came to him and were trying to diagnose why he was going through the trials and the heartaches that he was facing. All right. And of course, you know, they all had an opinion. And, of course, all of them were wrong, but all of them had an opinion. And so when each one spoke, for example, in chapter 22, verse 1, you'll see an Eliphaz, the Temanite, answered and said. So now in 22, you've got what his friend Eliphaz had to say. But then you'll look in verse 1 in chapter 23, and it says, then Job answered. All right, so what you've got is a dialogue between Job and his three friends. And then we're going to also see that in the midst of all this discussion, God speaks. And God gives Job and his three friends something to consider, something to think about, if you will. All right, so look down, please, at verse 12. Go down to Job 23 and verse 12. And Job says this, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. All right, now let me stop right here and just tell you that the his is God, his lips. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than necessary food. All right, how many of you like to eat? Raise your hand. All right. Yeah, that's about all of us, isn't it? Yeah, we all like to eat. And we all need to eat. If we don't, we get weak. We faint. We just have to eat. That's just a part of life. And Job says here, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. All right, now I want to speak to you from this 12th verse, and I'm going to entitle my message this morning, Job's Praise for the Word of God. Job's Praise for the Word of God. Let's pray together and then the message. Now, our Father, thank you so much for the blessed privilege we have to open your eternal word. And Father, here is a man who went through some of the greatest trials that probably anybody has ever had to deal with. And he went through triumphantly. And I'm sure his heart was broken when he lost everything he had. I'm sure his heart was broken when his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" I'm sure his heart was broken when his three friends showed up and accused him of being the worst sinner on the planet. And Father, I'm sure his heart was broken when there seemed to be no understanding for why he was facing the trials and heartaches that he faced. But Father, we're thankful, and I know Job was thankful for your word. And your word is what got him through. Your word is what encouraged and comforted his heart. And so, Father, this morning, as we think about Job and think about his answer here, I pray that we will realize the Word of God is the answer for us as well. And so bless your Word to our hearts and encourage us in your Word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Most folks don't realize that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It was written way, way before the book of Genesis. You remember that Moses was the author of the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All right, so Job was written hundreds and hundreds of years before Moses sat down and penned the Pentateuch, the law, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Now, according to the Bible, Job was born just after Noah and his family exited the ark on Mount Ararat. You remember all the way back to the flood days. We learn in chapter 1, flip back there for just a moment, chapter 1, and let me show you something here in verse 1 of chapter 1. And the Bible here says, there was a man in the land of Uz, not Oz. All right? Not a coincidence, folks. Are you a good witch or a bad witch? What? Not a coincidence. You say, oh, they didn't have that. Okay, whatever. Yeah, they did. Look at verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. All right, so here is Job, and he is old. He is an old character in the Bible. He goes back further than Moses. He goes back further than Abraham. All right, he goes way back to where when the ark rested on Mount Ararat, Job was born from Noah's son Shem. All right, Shem, and you can find that in the genealogies back in the early chapters of Genesis. As a matter of fact, Job was a grandson of Shem. All right, a grandson of Shem. So that shows you just how long ago all this was, all this when it happened. And you'll remember that Shem was one of Noah's three sons, and those three sons and their wives, and of course Noah and Mrs. Noah, were all saved from the great flood when God told Noah to build an ark that it was going to rain. Well, they had never heard of rain. All right, rain, what's that? Well, trust me, build an ark. And so he did. He trusted God by faith. Now, let's think about Job this morning. We all know the story of this man. It was God's idea, to allow Satan to attack Job. But there was never any indication at all that Job knew that God had allowed the devil to attack him. There's no indication. That's amazing. But you read the book of Job and you will see that there's no indication that Job knew that the devil had gone to God, and God said, where you been? And he said, well, I've been walking to and fro, up and down across the earth, seeking whom I may devour. And God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? There is not a greater man than Job on the earth. And so that's when the devil was allowed by God to attack him. We know, according to chapter 13 and verse 15, that eventually Job figured out that it was God. But to show you what a man of faith he was, here's what he said in that verse. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We also know that when the devil attacked Job, he lost his fortune, he lost his fortitude, he lost his family, but he never lost his faith. What an amazing man was Job. Now, in this 23rd chapter, in verse 12, we see Job giving great praise for the word of God. Job is speaking here and is answering one of his three friends who came to diagnose and to try and figure out what had happened and was happening to Job. This critic was accusing Job with doing wrong. He accused him of doing evil, which was why, in his mind, Job was being punished and judged by the hand of God. And in the midst of Job answering his friend, he gives this amazing statement about the word of God. But wait a second, folks. Do you remember just a few moments ago, I said to you that Job was a grandson of Shem and was born and lived just after the ark had landed on Mount Ararat and Noah and his family and all the animals disembarked? Well, that being true, it would have been hundreds and hundreds of years that would have passed before Moses would come along and pen for us the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. The Torah, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But Job, listen now, Job, let's say that Moses lived here, all right? Job lived way back here, way back here. As a matter of fact, Job lived just after they all got off the ark. Nod your heads. You see that? Job was right after the ark landed. And he was born to Shem's son. So he would have been a grandson to Shem. And the descendants of Shem eventually became the Jews. All right? So it's not by coincidence that any of this happened. No, it's here for a reason. We need to believe the word of God. And that's the point that I want to make to you this morning. So we read here in this verse, look at it. Neither have I gone back from the what? Hello? Anybody here? All right, read it. Neither have I gone back from the what? Very good. All right, now look, of his lips. Notice that. Did not say the commandment of his parchments. Are y'all following me? It does not say that neither have I gone back from the commandment of his scrolls. No. It does not say neither have I gone back from the commandment of his tablets. No. No. It says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Folks, I submit to you, Job did not have any written word of God. Moses hadn't even been born yet. He would not be born for several hundred years. You see what I'm saying? You say, well, then, Pastor, what did Job have? Well, it has to be that Job had divine revelation spoken by God to him. Was it spoken in a dream? Doesn't say. Was it in a vision? Doesn't say. Did he audibly hear God? It doesn't say. I don't know. But I do know this. I do know that God spoke to him. God revealed himself to Job. You say, well, how do you know that? Because he said so right here. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of God's lips. I have esteemed the words of God's mouth more than eating. How about that? God's word is more precious to me than food. So God must have spoken to him in some fashion, in some form, and he knew that it was the word of God. Now, here's the good news, folks. In 2025, we all have the Bible. We have God's word right here. This is the word of God for the English-speaking world. And probably you have one in your lap. You probably have one in your hand right now. You probably have several of them at home somewhere. All right? The Bible's the best-selling book every year and has been for eons. It's the best-selling book. So what did Job have? Well, he didn't have what we have, but he did have God speak to his heart. He had God's word. Now, today, we have the entire word of God, the whole inspired book called the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. We have God's word, and it is, I don't know about yours, but mine's leather bound. Matter of fact, mine's goat skin. I sent it off and had it rebound. It was falling apart, so I sent my Cambridge Bible off, and they rebound it. Now, it costs more to get it rebound than I could have possibly paid for it 8 years ago when I bought it. All right? Yeah. I mean, it cost a lot. I about died when they told me how much I owed them. Excuse me? Was that a gold-plated goat? What's the deal? You know? You got gold-plated goats over there you're strapping to Bibles? But anyway, today we have God's word, and it's leather bound so it won't wear out, and it's written on special paper, and it's has a special font for the letters so you won't hurt your eyes. I mean, wouldn't it be great if all of us were to esteem the Bible as special as how Job described God's words and God's very own mouth that were given to him? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, I think it would change our effectiveness for the Lord if we viewed God's word in that manner. Now, there's three things I want you to see here this morning. First of all, let's notice the embracing of the word. The embracing of the word. Look again at verse 12. neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. The embracing of his words. You see, Job said, I am not going to turn away from God's word. I know what God has given to me. I know what God has told me. And I'm not going to turn my back on what God has given me in his word. You see, folks, Job embraced the word of God. He embraced the word of God. And I'm telling you, this is so vital for all of us to see and to understand, because Job embraced God's word in spite of all these great trials that he was put through. He embraced the word of God. I wonder how many of us, if we were forced to go through what Job went through, would we have embraced the word of God? You know, that's something to think about, isn't it? Job lost everything he had. Everything. I mean, he lost his family, all of his kids and their spouses. He lost all of his family. A storm blew through and crushed everyone, killing his children and all of their families and all their spouses. If you go back, let's go back to chapter 1 again, and let me read to you a couple of things here out of chapter 1 about this loss. Lest you all think I'm making all this up. All right, because I'm not. I want you to see what the Bible says. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. Chapter 1 and verse 20. The Bible says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and what? Well, I declare. Can you imagine that? I mean, he lost everything he has. And when they came and told him everything was gone, he falls to the ground and worships the Lord. Would we have done that? I have to ask, would I have done that? Now, I sure like to think I would, but hey, none of us have ever experienced anything akin to what Job had to go through. None of us. You say, well, Pastor, you just don't know how rough I have it. I don't think you're quite up to the same level as Job. I mean, I really don't. And I'm telling you, folks, he did not turn his back on the Lord. What happened was, losing everything he had, he fell down to the ground in verse 20, and he worshiped the Lord. Now remember, he lost everything, and yet he worshiped. Wait a second, Job. Didn't anybody tell him that when you have tragedy strike in your life, you're not supposed to bow down to the ground and worship and praise God? I mean, did nobody tell him that? You see, evidently what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to get mad at God. And then you're supposed to go find you a juniper tree somewhere, crawl underneath that juniper tree and feel sorry for yourself. And then you're supposed to walk away from the Lord and quit going to church and get angry and bitter towards the Bible and towards God. You see, you're supposed to become full of hatred, and you're supposed to be shattered, and you're supposed to lose your faith. I mean, didn't anybody tell Job how he's supposed to react to that? You say, well, Pastor, we're not supposed to react that way. Then why do we? Why do we? You say, well, again, Pastor, you don't know what I'm facing. No, I don't. But I don't think that it's anything near what Job faced. And yet when Job went through the trial, he fell on his face and praised the Lord and worshiped the Lord. I think it's amazing. Something happens to us and we don't show up for church for 6 months. And then we come crawling back in, you know, almost like we're doing God a favor. I'm telling you, folks, our perspective is way off on all this. And we ought to be praising the Lord for what God is doing in our lives. You say, but Pastor, I'm facing hard times. Welcome to the club. I don't know if you realize this, but I'm president of the club. Now, it's a self-appointed position. But that's true, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine all of the things that happened? Look at chapter 2 and verse 7. Look at verse 7 in chapter 2. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. In other words, from bottom to top, Job was afflicted with boils. Now, I've never had a boil, so I don't know how painful they are, but I know people who have had them. And they have told me that they would have just as soon been shot and put out of their misery as to have to deal with that boil. And I thought, well, you know, Lord, I don't want one. I don't want one. Well, Job was covered in them. And this was before Johns Hopkins. All right? Yeah. Yeah, this was before shock trauma and all the rest of the hospitals around our territory here. I mean, and Satan just stood and accused Job. God says, have you considered my servant Job? Well, I'm telling you, there's not a single inclination when all this happened, but happening that Job knew, even for a second, that Satan's attack was upon him and that it was all God's doings. Now, you just think about that. Would you not be sitting on an ash heap with a potsherd, broken piece of pottery in your hand and sitting there scraping the boils to get the disease out of the boils? I mean, do you think Job was sitting there thinking to himself, well, wonder why Satan's attacking me like this? No, he didn't do that. He didn't do any of that. But what he did do is this: well, even if he kills me, I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to praise the Lord. You see, folks, we are willing to embrace the word when things are going well, aren't we? Oh, yeah, we're when everything's going just hunky-dory, we are praising God and giving God the glory for everything. But God is the same God whether things are going well or whether things are going bad. He's the same God and is worthy of our praise. I mean, the slightest little bit of difficulty comes our way and suddenly we're lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. Yeah. Why me? Why me? Why do I have to? I? You know, that's just the way we are. Our joy is gone. Our zeal goes out the door. We soon throw away everything that we have learned and all the growth that we have made in our Christian life, and we start instead of seeking the commandments of the Lord and the word of the living God, we go running to some counselor somewhere or some therapist somewhere and rely on their words. The Bible or what man thinks? I don't know about you, but I think the Bible's worth listening to. We trust the world's philosophies and we ditch the Word of God. And it's not long in so many of these instances where we get out of church and then we wander away from the Lord. But thankfully, Job did not do that. And in spite of all his troubles, and again, I say his troubles were probably greater than anything any of us have ever had to face. But yet Job continued to obey the commandment of the Lord. And thank God he did. We have his book in our Bibles so that we can read it and get excited when we have to face the trials as well. Hey, listen, if Job could do it, then we can do it. Job was just like you and just like me. Second thing I want you to notice, not only do we see Job embrace the word, but now secondly, we see Job's esteem for the word. We see his esteem for the word. Go back to the text verse. Go back to chapter 23 and verse 12. And you'll notice here in the second part of this verse, he says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth. Job esteemed the word of the Lord as more important to him than anything else, even food, even eating food. You know, that's saying something special about Job, in my opinion, because most people, especially men, place more of a premium on food to satisfy hunger than anything else. Yeah. Yeah. My kids will tease me about being hangry. You know what hangry is? That's get out of the way, I got to eat. You know? But to Job, the word of God was more valuable than even food. Do you think that we see in the Bible, in the word of the Lord, the things that Job saw? Do you think we see that? I mean, the Word of God enables us to do battle and to face the battles and to be the victor in the battle. That's why we have the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. You know, the whole armor, put it on, Paul said. Why? So you can defeat the wiles of the devil. That's why. Hold your place here in 23 and go over to the New Testament for a moment to the Gospel of John and chapter 8. John chapter 8. Let me read you what Jesus said about the devil here. I guess the question is, can we get along without God's word? Is it possible that because Job had such confidence in the word of God, he was able to have faith and faith in the faithfulness of the Lord because of God's word. He had the promises, folks. Now, do you think we see in the word of the Lord the things Job saw? Well, look at here. Look at verse 44 of this chapter. Here's what Jesus said about the devil. He said, ye, talking to the Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will ye do. He, the devil, Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He was from the beginning. You see that? From the beginning. That's what he did to Eve. He lied to her from the beginning, trying to murder her soul. And Jesus said, because there is no truth in him. He can't tell the truth. He doesn't have truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, folks, Jesus says that the devil is a liar and a murderer, that he has been a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Satan, no doubt, would kill each and every one of us if God allowed him to do it. Now, there are two common scriptural titles for the evil one that we find. There is, of course, Satan. And that word means the adversary, the enemy. He is the enemy of God. And as the enemy of God, he is also your enemy and mine. And then second, he is the devil. And as the devil, that word means the slanderer. The slanderer. He lies about you to God. He lies. That's what he does. You know why he lies? Because he doesn't have any truth in him. So he lies. He accuses the saints before God, just like he did here with Job. He lies to God about man, but also lies to man about God. We sometimes miss that point, don't we? But then notice lastly, the essentialness of the word. And I say that by what Job said here in this last verse, or last part of the verse. He said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, in other words, to Job, the word of God was essential. It was essential. He said, I esteem it more than food. Notice he distinguishes that by saying necessary food. Necessary food. All right? Now, you see a little kid, and a little kid will say, can I have a candy bar? Mom says, no. And the little kid says, but I'm starving. But I don't think you're going to die. And we're going to eat in about 40 minutes. So you wait. But Mom, I'm going to die if I don't get a candy bar. And they give you that pitiful look. And just keep on asking and asking and asking. And they won't let up. They just go with it. And they say, I know that dinner's coming and you probably got some meat and some taters and some ears of white corn, amen, slathered in butter, amen, fresh green beans salad, those little Hawaiian rolls that you get when the orange plastic wrappers, you know? You know, necessary food, right? Now, a little kid would say, I think I'd still rather have a Hershey bar. But an adult knows better, or supposed to, right? But wait a second, Job said the word of God was more important than even the most essential things of life. Now, of course, we all understand that we have to eat and eat right in order to survive. We all understand that. We all know what necessary food is. And you say, well, then what is this, Pastor? This is the Holy Spirit of God using hyperbole as a teaching method. We all know we have to eat food and good food. If we do not eat good food, if we do not, then we'll starve our bodies. Did you hear? We'll starve to death. I think it would be a long time coming for most of us. Amen. How many of you got a little supply built up? All right, I do. Sure. But you know, we got to have God's word, though. Let me have you turn one more time. Go over to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Let me show you one more little verse here. One more little verse. Matthew chapter 4, let's begin in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, tried of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Wow. I mean, all I can say is, wow. And then Matthew says, afterward, he was hungered. I reckon so. I know I would have been, I think if this were talking about me, it would say he was afterward and hangered. Yeah, I would not be very pleasant, I don't think. Verse 3, and when the tempter, who's that? Satan, yeah. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Is there anything any more aesthetic in the way it looks and the way it smells than fresh hot bread out of the oven? Over in Israel, you know, it's hard for us to realize this, but over in Israel, all around Jerusalem and south, there are rocks. They're about that big. Right, Donna? Donna's back here grinning from ear to ear. She's seen them. They're just everywhere. You know why the Palestinians are, you always see them throwing rocks, you know? Well, first of all, Israel won't allow them to have guns. But the second thing, they throw rocks because rocks are everywhere. And there are these rocks laying out all over the country, and they look like a loaf of bread. And so Satan put it in our Lord's mind. Look at that bread. 40 days, folks. 40 days. Nothing to eat. But look at verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, what's the next word? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, folks, listen to me. If this is not God's word, if this is not God's word, then I think that we need to pool all of our money, divide up into teams, and scour this earth until we can find the word of God. If this is not it. But you know what I believe? I believe this is it. And so here we are, just like Job. We have our trials, don't we? We have our heartaches. We have our difficulties. But do we go to the Word of God for the answers? That's something to consider. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one's looking around for just a moment. I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I in the Word of God like I should be? Am I relying on the Word of God, or is the devil defeating me? Am I being beaten down and losing the fight? Well, my friend, listen, if I know everybody's struggling. I understand that. Everybody's having a hard time. I know that. I get that. But your victory is in the book. Your victory is in the book. Father in heaven, you know our needs this morning, and I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. I pray you'll give us understanding of what we have heard this morning, how important it is that we trust in your word. And Father, I ask you to draw us close to yourself this morning. There are folks here that are dealing with some serious issues, some serious trials that they have to face. But Father, give victory. And that victory is going to come through your word. Job realized it. He didn't even have a written Bible, but you spoke to his heart. He had your words in his heart. And so, Father, you blessed him. I pray now that we'll lose ourselves in your word and that you'll bless us as well. Give us faith to trust your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.